You are listening to The Evidence Locker. Today's episode is brought to you by Best Fiends and Trip CBD. Mobile puzzle game Best Fiends is a fun and colorful world to escape to. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. And bring some calm to your everyday chaos with Trip CBD infused drinks and CBD oils. To take a trip to happy days, go to drink-trip.com and get 15% off your first order with free shipping with the code EVIDENCE. That's drink-trip.com and use the code EVIDENCE for 15% off. You can find the links to Trip CBD and Best Fiends in the show notes or on our website. Our cases have been researched using open source and archive materials. It deals with true crimes and real people. Some parts are graphic in nature, and listener discretion is advised. Each episode is produced with the utmost respect to the victims, their families, and loved ones. When Chao Wei-Ying could not reach his parents during the first week of March 2013, he called his younger brother Henry. Although Chao Wei-Ying and Henry were both grown men, they all lived together in an apartment in Hong Kong. Henry told Chao Wei-Ying their parents had gone to mainland China and probably forgot to tell him. But something didn't seem right to Chao Wei-Ying. It was very unusual for Glory Chao Wing-Ki and Moon Siu Yuit Yi to leave without saying anything. They also did not take any luggage, which confused Chao Wei-Ying. Henry didn't seem too worried. He enjoyed the freedom without his parents and told Chao Wei-Ying to relax and to make the most of it. Chao Wei-Ying was convinced that something had happened to their parents and insisted they reported their disappearance to the police. Henry relented and, after going to police, helped his brother to raise the alarm to family and friends on a Facebook page titled Missing Mom and Dad. Henry also reached out to online news platform Apple Daily to run a story about his missing parents. The youthful 28-year-old addressed readers in a video clip, speaking confidently into the camera. He explained that his parents loved hiking in the mountains, and he feared that they were lost or had had an accident. Because of all the media attention, the whole of Hong Kong knew about the missing parents. They supported the Chow brothers in every way they could. Police prioritized the strange disappearance case and interviewed the brothers again. Meanwhile, Henry was preoccupied with his phone. He kept texting, and the message alerts pinged incessantly. Later that night, one of Henry's friends informed police that while police questioned Henry, he confessed to killing his parents to a WhatsApp chat group. Investigators were surprised at the impertinence of the young man, but this was only the tip of the iceberg. In 2013, the Chow family of four lived together in an apartment in Hong Kong's western suburb of Sai Ying Pun. Chao Wing-Ki and Siu Yuit Yi valued good education for their talented sons. Sai Ying Pun is a densely populated but thriving neighborhood with green patches and a strong community feeling that held a long tradition in the arts and crafts. With gentrification that started in 2001, many trendy restaurants and quirky shops have opened up. Yet there are reminders of the old Hong Kong everywhere. Bamboo weavers, elderly people taking cage birds for walks. Sai Ying Pun is a colorful place with beautiful murals and art everywhere. Although Sai Ying Pun is located close to the CBD, it operates at a different pace. 65-year-old Chao Wing-Ki and his wife, 63-year-old Siu Yuit Yi, had had good fortune with property. They bought an apartment in the 1980s and sold it for double its value a decade later. They bought again and sold again, and by 2013, they were retired and living comfortably. Their youngest son, Henry, caused them a lot of stress over the years. He was bright and had potential to make a good life for himself. But at 28, he was unemployed, with no significant other in his life and no prospects. According to a childhood friend of Henry's, he had always been in his own world. He didn't have many friends and often clashed with his peers. As a teenager, Henry struggled to perform academically and failed his Hong Kong Certificate of Education examination, which is the equivalent of a high school diploma. This caused a lot of friction at home because his parents felt that he did not put in enough effort. Henry resented his mother for making him take piano lessons since elementary school and never forgave her for forcing him to do so. He claimed that his father was an alcoholic who often came home drunk and beat up his mother and older brother when he came home. It was easier to escape into the world of gaming, and he spent hours online, where he felt accepted and respected. In 2000, Henry's parents sent him to Canberra, Australia to study. He enrolled at the Australian National University to do actuarial science. This is not an easy course to get into, but Henry managed to do it. His parents were hopeful that he would realize his own potential and make the most of the opportunity. However, this was not a solution either. In Australia, Henry was bullied. He claimed that he was beaten up on one occasion. After 3 years, Henry dropped out without telling his parents. He returned to Hong Kong in 2003, and his parents were under the impression he had graduated. After his return, Henry became increasingly withdrawn, alienating the handful of friends he had. They said he entertained Nazi thoughts and even used Adolf Hitler's photo as the icon on his MSN account. His friend from elementary school, Chen Shengyao, said he only had 3 interests in life: investment, women, and gaming. He indulged in classical music and looked down on others who didn't appreciate the finer things in life. One news article describes Henry as pretentious and taciturn. Once he was back in Hong Kong, he was employed on and off and could never seem to hold down a steady job. Desperate for their son to find direction in his life, his parents paid him to enroll in university once more, this time in Hong Kong. In 2011, a friend offered him a job, but he was fired after only a couple of weeks because he didn't perform. He then took a job as a real estate reporter for a newspaper, but when his boss reprimanded him, he quit. Henry, small in stature, didn't have much luck on the romantic front either. He was quite obsessed with women. He had relationships with various women from mainland China. When one of his girlfriends called and told him she was expecting his child, he told her to terminate the pregnancy. She decided to keep the baby, and Henry broke off all contact with her. He learned that she had a little girl, but he never saw his daughter or her mother. In 2012, Henry lost a lot of money in stocks, and his parents had to bail him out financially. But that wasn't enough. He suggested his parents sold their home and to divide the money 3 ways: one part to his parents, one to his brother, and one to him. Naturally, Glory and Moon did not want to do that. Although Henry did not have many friends, there was one person he kept around. He met Angus Sie Chun Kei at work in 2007. Angus worked as an entry-level clerk, and the pair became close friends. Angus saw Henry as a brother. He often treated him to fine foods and bought him expensive clothing. He looked after him. Henry was by far the dominant one in the relationship. He called the shots, and Angus followed. Angus was a gentle, kind-hearted person who had quite a different upbringing to Henry's. He grew up in a tight-knit family. It was just him, his mother, and his older sister, Amy. His father left when he was 3, and his mother worked 2 jobs to make ends meet. Angus was not academically minded. He did not do very well in school. In fact, he failed every subject except for math. From a young age, he was bullied and always just took it. He never stood up for himself. At school, he was often punched and kicked, and once he was even sprayed with insecticide. His sister was concerned that Angus was easily manipulated. People could win his trust just by treating him to a meal. He had many nicknames, like Fat Cat, after the chubby, naive, but lovable character played by Zhang Zixi. Some people even called Angus Tigger, after Winnie the Pooh's bouncing friend. Angus worked as a cash collector, a security guard, and sometimes did clerical work. He was a hopeless romantic who always had his heart broken in epic fashion. His first girlfriend died tragically, and his subsequent relationships went south. He married an Indonesian woman who gave him shocking news on their wedding night. She was already married. And besides her husband, she also had a boyfriend in her hometown. She had only married Angus to gain residency in Hong Kong. Escaping Hong Kong after the failed relationship, Angus went to New Zealand on a working holiday where he met another woman. She swindled him out of all of his money, and he was forced to return home to Hong Kong. Penniless and desperate, Angus tried to end his own life. His plan was to kill himself, using three methods simultaneously. He took mercury, which he got from thermometers, and mixed it with rat poison and cough syrup, then shut himself into an unventilated room with a wood stove burning. His sister arrived home before he died, but his suicide attempt caused significant brain damage. His speech was affected, and he struggled to speak clearly. When he recovered, his mantra was to live life one day at a time. In September 2012, Henry Chow confided in Angus about his own suicidal thoughts. He was adamant that he wanted to do something big before he turned 30. He had planned it all out. He'd get dressed in a tuxedo, have a bottle of red wine, and jump off of a building. Angus convinced him not to go through with it. Henry claimed that it was Angus's idea to turn his anger towards others. And that's when Henry decided it would be better to kill his parents than himself. They never got along, and were always on his case about succeeding in life. If they were out of the picture, he'd have some peace and quiet. Also, he'd have an inheritance, so he wouldn't have to worry about a job. He would stage a disappearance, feign distress, and make public attempts to find them. He'd have to wait 7 years to declare them dead, at which time he'd cash in on his inheritance. It was a logical plan, and he was prepared to see it through to the end. Henry set this plan in motion on the 1st of March, 2013. It took 4 days for his brother Chow Wei-ying to be concerned enough to do something about it. Henry said that he had overheard a conversation of them planning a trip to mainland China because they wanted to go and have some fun. His brother was unaware of the travel plans. He did not buy the story, but never suspected his brother was deceiving him. Henry tried to appease him and said he was sure they were only preoccupied with their vacation, and calling home was not a priority. Chow Wei-ying was not convinced and feared for his parents' safety. On the 7th of March, on Chow Wei-ying's insistence, the brothers both went to the Western Police Station and told police that their parents were missing. At the police station, Henry said that he met his parents for tea at Langham Place, Mong Kok, on the 2nd of March, and that he had not seen or heard from them since then. All the while, Henry knew exactly where they were, and that they weren't ever coming back. We'll take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Stress has become such an everyday word, so much so, it's become the norm to have a stressful day. And if you don't have one, you stress that you've dropped the ball somehow, especially in the past year, am I right? As a force of habit, I like to transition from my working day to my free time at night by having a drink. Now that I'm working from home, and I need that switch. Sometimes I have a beer, maybe some wine, a whiskey even, just one to take off the edge. But I don't necessarily want to drink every night either. So when I was introduced to Trip CBD drinks, it was a game changer. The Guardian calls it the holy grail of alcohol alternatives. Trip CBD infused drinks and oils leave you more productive, less stressed, and make you feel more like yourself. You can find Trip CBD in mainstream retailers like Liberty, Selfridges, Harvey Nichols, and more. This is the way people find their calm in the chaos of everyday 2021. And you might have trouble sleeping too. Well, the best natural solution to help you drift off to La La Land is Trip CBD oils. The natural botanical fragrances like orange blossom and wild mint will calm your mind and help you to fall asleep without causing any drowsiness. All Trip CBD products are vegan, gluten-free, and they use recyclable packaging too. Did I mention there's no added sugar? To take a trip to happy days, go to drink-trip.com. Evidence Locker listeners can get 15% off their first order with free shipping with the code EVIDENCE. That's drink-trip.com and use the code EVIDENCE for 15% off. Now, back to today's episode.
5 days after filing a missing persons report,
Police informed the Chow brothers that the Department of Immigration had no record of Gloria Chow or Moon Siu departing Hong Kong. It was a mystery, and their family and friends were baffled. The brothers launched a social media campaign to find their parents. In a desperate bid to find them, the Chow brothers also took to social media and created a Facebook page titled My Missing Dad and Mom, and asked friends and the greater public for any information that could assist them in locating their parents. Apple Daily covered the story of the brothers' plight to find them. The brothers claimed that they would do anything possible. Dear friends, my parents, Glory Chow Wing Ki, about 65 years old, and Moon Siu Yuit Yi, about 64 years old, I hope all friends can help provide information. The last time the missing people were seen was near Langham Place, Mong Kok, on Saturday, March 2nd at 2 p.m. At that time, my father was wearing a dark blue vest, long-sleeve shirt, straight-leg jeans, and a single shoulder bag. My mother was wearing a light-colored gold shirt, straight-leg jeans, and a single shoulder bag. If you've seen the two missing persons in the photo on that day or have relevant information, please contact Mr. Chow. The next day, Henry and Chow Wei-Ying approached Apple Daily and said that their parents had disappeared without a trace. The story blew up, and police were forced to prioritize the case, which did not bode well for Henry Chow. On the 14th of March, 2013, investigators called the brothers in once more and questioned them for a second time. During the police interview, Henry Chow had access to his cell phone. While the interview was in progress, he texted his friends in a WhatsApp gaming group called HK Tekken and confessed to killing his parents. That night, Henry met a friend for dinner and confessed face to face. When the friend asked what he was going to do, he said that he wanted to go home, clean up, have a good night's sleep, and that he would turn himself in the next day. Just before midnight, one of the members of the WhatsApp group contacted police and told them about Henry's confession. He had typed, "I am in the police station now, but I am going to string the police along for a while because I need to buy time to say final goodbye to good friends, and then I will tell them the truth. I am a psychopath. I cannot empathize people's pain because of my experience from childhood and adolescence. For some reason, I don't want them here. My murdering partner and I were planning to make it a missing person case and dump the bodies piece by piece. I process emotion differently from a normal person." At 7 a.m., police arrived at the Chow residence in Sai Ying Pun, where they arrested 28-year-old Henry Chow. He gave police Angus Tse's address and said that they would find his parents' remains inside the flat. At 10:30 a.m., police also arrested the 35-year-old Angus Tse. Both men were indicted for killing and dismembering Chow's parents at the beginning of March 2013. But investigators knew that they had a long way to go to prove what happened to Glory Chow and to Moon Siu. Henry Chow confessed that he had invited his parents to Angus Tse's flat on Cheung Street, Tai Kok Sui. At first, Henry wanted to execute his plan in Shenzhen, the Chinese province that borders Hong Kong. However, Angus recognized Tai Kok Sui was a better location. It was remote and densely populated. At the time, it was a lower-income, working-class neighborhood, and Henry's parents had no connection to it. No one would have ever looked for them there. Henry agreed and set his plan in motion to lure his parents into the death trap. Glory Chow and Moon Siu were under the impression that he was moving in with Angus, and they agreed to help him clean and set up his new room. As soon as they entered the living room, however, Henry and Angus waited until it felt ready before launching the violent attack. Chow described his accomplice Angus as a very strong man who grabbed a hold of his mother from behind, covered her mouth, then slashed her throat. At the same time, Henry launched an attack on his father, stabbing him in the back of the neck, but that did not kill him. It was Angus who came over and ended it, by slitting Glory's throat. In the struggle with his father, Angus accidentally stabbed Henry in the thigh and also cut his finger. So, with both of his parents dead, Henry left to go to the hospital, where he received 11 stitches. Henry claimed that when he returned a couple of hours later, Angus Tse had already dismembered the bodies. His friend had swiftly gone to work and preserved the bulk of the body parts with salt before storing them in airtight containers, because the fridges were too small. The initial plan was to cover the body parts in sand and cement, shape them into bricks, and build a wall between the kitchen and the living room. However, this was a rather arduous task, and the result was not guaranteed. Handmade bricks could have raised suspicion. According to Henry, it was Angus who came up with an easier disposal method. They could cook the remains, disguising it as char siu, barbecued pork. Henry agreed, and they chopped the body parts into small pieces and cooked it with barbecue sauce in the microwave. Once the meat had cooked, they scooped the contents onto rice and styrofoam lunchboxes and stored it in the fridge. Some of the remains, bones and such, were covered with sand and thrown into the sea from the pier at Lung Cheng Bay. Henry Chow was very clear that his role in the double murder was killing only, while Angus dismembered the bodies. When Angus learned that Henry had confessed, he did so too. At the time, he had been held for 40 hours and interrogated for 9 hours straight. But Angus was not quite as articulate as his friend, and his statement made no sense. Investigators knew they needed to get evidence to back up Henry's claims of murder. At this point, they had Henry's statement and proof of his confession to his WhatsApp group. On the same day as his arrest, police executed a search warrant of Angus Tse's apartment in Tai Kak Sui. As soon as they entered, the blood-stained carpet gave an ominous clue as to the horror that had taken place. It was obvious that there were no shared accommodation arrangement, as there was only one bedroom. The apartment appeared to have been purposely prepared for the murder. In the living room were three black plastic bags filled with sand and cement. The second bedroom was evidently used as a slaughter room. It contained a chopping board, body bags, 600 styrofoam lunchboxes, and a bucket with a saw and 7 knives. 3 garbage bags in the corner of the slaughter room contained human limbs and some offcuts. In a small storage room next to the kitchen were 2 refrigerators, each one with a microwave on top. When police opened the freezer compartment of the first fridge, they found the severed head of Glory Chow. Moon Siu's frozen head was in the other freezer. Inside the refrigerator were lunchboxes, neatly stacked, with microwaved human flesh and barbecue sauce on rice. Yellow grease in the microwave turned out to be human fat. The first investigators who walked into the flat likened the scene to an abattoir, with blood and meat all over the place. The smell was so bad that one of the investigators admitted that after processing the scene, he could not eat meat for some time. Inside the apartment was evidence that the plan to murder Glory Chow and Moon Siu was more than 6 months in the making. In a notebook found under the mattress in Angus's room were detailed notes about how to dismember a body. There were also notes about how long it would take to drain the blood from a corpse using a syringe. Investigators knew that Henry was the one who had written the notes. Under the heading Plan B, Henry made a cryptic list. Syringes, 20 pieces. 3 days, 1 piece, meat and bones, done in 9 days. Nest, blood taking, hair shaving. Cut the skin, cut the organs. Take the body to the nest. If they can't find it, they won't know ABC have been X. A month later, he created a shopping list of tools. They contained items like pork knives, hammers, lunchboxes, and bleach. Henry began shopping for these items one at a time at various stores across Hong Kong between January and February, to avoid suspicion. He sometimes sent Angus in to make a purchase, but CCTV footage always caught Henry hovering close by, keeping an eye on his slow-witted friend. In January, Henry told Angus that he was moving in with him. Henry did not give Angus much of a choice, so it was agreed. In this time, the two friends communicated on MSN Messenger, and it was Henry who always found a way to bring up the topic of wicked murder methods. In the conversations, investigators saw how Henry's confidence grew. In the weeks before the murders, Henry reportedly felt up a woman's thigh on a bus, and he said that it made him feel like God. Henry Chow was a volcano about to erupt. Henry told psychiatrists that he had listened to Russian composer Alexander Scriabin's piano piece, Vers la Flamme, over and over in the month leading up to his parents' murder. It is an aggressive piano piece which, name translates to Towards the Flame. Henry Chow said that by listening to it only once, he felt tense and wound up. According to psychiatrist Dr. Chung Kai-fai, who examined Chow, the music intensified the images of fire and flame in his mind. He believed the world was going to end, and he could not get away from it. Henry claimed that during the killings, he saw flames, and was convinced the whole world would be destroyed by fire, with the tempestuous sounds of Vers la Flamme pounding in the background. He told a cousin the evening before his arrest how he experienced killing his parents. "I did not have any feeling at all. I felt frightened and nervous as I saw a lot of blood there, but I did not worry about their deaths." CCTV footage became an integral part of the investigation. Firstly, police studied footage of Langham Place Restaurant, where Henry claimed that he met his parents for lunch on the 2nd of March. However, neither Henry nor his parents were seen entering or leaving the restaurant that day. Using footage from various places in Hong Kong, investigators were able to figure out the facts. If Henry had lied about their lunch date, what else was he lying about? At 11 a.m. on Friday, March 1st, Henry and his parents were in the lobby of their apartment building in Sai Ying Pun. Glory Chow is behind his wife and son with his hands in his pockets. Mun Siu has her arms crossed and Henry is leading them outside. At 12:26, the CCTV camera from the parking garage of Angus's apartment captured Henry and his parents. Henry was still in the lead. Mun followed and Glory was walking a couple of paces behind. From there, they entered the building and went up to the third floor and never left again. 20 minutes later, Henry exits and resurfaces at the front entrance of the Queen Mary Hospital. At 4 p.m., he is in a clothing store, buying trousers to replace the bloodstained ones he had worn at the hospital. In the days following the murders, he went to work, pragmatically working through the evidence and inquiring about his parents' bank accounts and shares. He contacted Angus via SMS and phone calls, more than 70 times in 2 weeks after the deed was done. As grisly details of the case emerged, the media lapped it up, and it caused an enormous sensation in Hong Kong. Rumors of cannibalism began floating around town, but no evidence or confessions ever confirmed Henry actually ate his parents' remains. Henry was a young-looking 28-year-old, small in stature and timid. It was unfathomable that a savage killer lurked beneath his weak appearance. The trial of Henry Chow and Angus Tse began on the 4th of August, 2014. Both of the accused pleaded not guilty. The details of the case were so gory that two members of the jury asked to be dismissed due to psychological stress. This meant the trial had to be postponed so a new jury could be selected. Proceedings resumed 6 months later, in February of 2015. The prosecution argued that the crime was a cold-blooded, carefully constructed murder. According to Henry Chow's own confession, he and Angus Tse had discussed how they would execute the murder and dispose of the bodies. However, most of the planning was done by the victim's son, Henry. Henry Chow's police interview videos were shown as evidence in court. In one interview, he said that his father was an arrogant man who left Henry without a moment of peace, while his mother always looked disappointed when Henry did not contribute to the family. Henry continued to blame his parents for his failures in life. He complained that he struggled to concentrate on his schoolwork because his father always had the TV volume turned up too loud. Rage festered inside of him, and he bottled it up for many years. He also resented his mother for forcing him to play the piano against his will. Henry claimed she also embarrassed him in front of a girl. He coldly stated his motive for killing his parents, and it sent chills down the spines of everyone in the courtroom. "I thought that if I could resolve the emotional connection with my parents, it would be a solution. If they died, I could be reborn." He said he wanted to achieve something great before he turned 30, and this epic slaughter turned out to be it. Henry told psychiatrists that he felt a sense of relief when he saw his parents' empty bed the morning after the murders. Then, a stunning confession surfaced. He had planned to kill his brother too. But because of that feeling of inner calm in his parents' absence, he decided it was no longer necessary to end Chow Wei-ying's life. Henry said that if he had managed to get away with killing his parents, he would have taken a trip to mainland China with his co-accused, Angus Tse, and embark on a crime spree of rape and murder of random women and sex workers until they got caught, or until they died. Angus denied any involvement in the murders, but admitted that he helped his friend to clean up the crime scene. According to Angus, he only returned to his apartment on March 4th, 3 days after the murders. This is when Henry, with a smile that made him shiver, showed him the contents of a plastic container. a dismembered head and hand. Angus claimed Henry said he was involved, whether he liked it or not, and that people would never believe Angus if he said that he wasn't. Angus only helped Henry because he had threatened to kill Angus's mother if he didn't. Henry Chow's defense did not shush their client. His outlandish statements supported their strategy. They claimed that he was mentally unstable and pleaded manslaughter on the grounds of diminished responsibility. Psychiatrist Chung Kai-fi testified for the defense, stating that he had diagnosed Henry Chow with bipolar disorder and obsessive-compulsive disorder. He relayed Henry's status quo at the time of the murders. He had dropped out of school, was unemployed, and could not keep a girlfriend. Because of his dire situation, he had contemplated suicide. According to the psychiatrists, the stress of his failures could have triggered him to kill his parents. However, a second psychiatric examination found that Henry did not suffer from any disorder whatsoever. Another expert concluded that he was only obsessive-compulsive. Dr. Louise Sing Jung, who met Chow 30 times, concluded that he only had a personality disorder with narcissistic and psychopathic features. With all this contradictory evidence, the judge ordered the psychological reports to be archived. IQ tests found that Henry Chow was of much higher intelligence than his friend Angus Tse. According to the psychologist, Henry could have manipulated Angus to do most of the heavy lifting before framing him. Angus's sister testified that he was a simple-minded man, and people often took advantage of him. When called to testify, Angus struggled to express himself in a coherent manner. He was emotional and worn down and did not appear to be a cool and calculating killer. Henry, on the other hand, was completely emotionless and referred to his deceased parents and his co-defendant by their full names. Judge Situmian stated that Henry Chow was a very convincing actor and deemed him to be extremely dangerous. He also expressed his disgust at how police treated a mentally challenged Angus Tse by holding him in custody for 40 hours and interrogating him for 9 hours without a break. On March 20, 2015, Henry Chow was found guilty of double murder, and Angus Tse was found not guilty. Angus received a 1-year sentence for preventing the lawful burial of bodies, and because he had spent 2 years in remand, was released immediately. Henry Chow did not react as the judge passed down his life sentence. Judge Michael Stuart Moore said, "People may wonder why you did this. The fact there is no obvious answer is what makes you so dangerous." Angus Tse agreed to an exclusive interview with Next magazine straight after the trial. In the video, he sits next to his sister on a bed in his hotel room. Both have face masks on. He speaks like a child, his hands are contorted, and he uses his body excitedly as he speaks. When the journalists ask if he hates Henry, he said, "Mommy told me not to harm people." In the same interview, Angus repeated his version of events in a chilling account. He claimed that when he returned to his flat, Henry was there. He opened a plastic box and showed Angus a mutilated hand and said, "You can't get away. You're part of this project now." According to Angus, Henry was harsh and scolded him fiercely. He commanded Angus not to ask any questions and just do as he was told. The sight of the hand in the box haunted Angus for years to come, as did Henry's unrelenting commands, and said, "Sometimes I dreamed about the hand in Henry Chow's face. In the time after the murders, these dreams come often. Now it has become less frequent, but I often dream about being bitten by a giant spider." Interestingly, on the website Chinese.com, it claims that dreaming of a spider bite means someone is using you. This quote from the website: "Your willingness and help to others don't pay off. You forget about yourself, and people use you for their own good. You should learn to recognize who really deserves your help and who just uses you." This is not insignificant if you look at Angus Tse's relationship with Henry Chow. After a lifetime of being pushed around and bullied, he found a friend in Henry. For the first time, someone treated him like an equal and appreciated him. However, Henry was a master manipulator, and in the end, he hung Angus out to dry. Fortunately, the jury saw through his version of events, and Angus was not blamed for the murders. After the heinous crime, most residents opted to move out of the Wai Hing building on Chung Street, believing that there was bad feng shui. Built in 1964, the nine-floor building that housed 250 families became a haunted shell. In October 2017, the deserted building was demolished. Although Henry Chow's brother, Chao Ying, paid Henry's legal fees, he has disowned his killer brother and refuses to talk about the murders. In court, Chao Ying said Henry lived in his own world and loved to manipulate people. Henry Chow's parents wanted him to make something of himself, to see something through. In the end, it was exactly this trait, his inability to complete something, that led to his arrest. Had he disposed of all the body parts and cleaned the apartment, waited 7 years to have his parents declared dead, he could have gotten away with it. Instead of sitting behind bars, he could have been living a life of luxury, burning through his parents' money, and no one would have known. So why did he confess then? Was it because he was proud of achieving something big before he turned 30? Perhaps that was his plan all along. Like a coda in a music piece, he concluded not only his parents' lives, but also his own. In prison, there was no expectation to perform or to achieve. One can simply exist and survive. He charged to the flame, and now he is basking in its heat for the rest of his life. We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Best Fiends and Trip CBD. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. This 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. And bring some calm to your everyday chaos with Trip CBD infused drinks and CBD oils. To take a trip to happy days, go to drink-trip.com and get 15% off your first order with free shipping with the code EVIDENCE. That's drink-trip.com and use the code EVIDENCE for 15% off. You can find links to Best Fiends and Trip CBD in the show notes or on our website. If you'd like to read more about this case, have a look at the resources used for this episode in the show notes. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/evidencelockerpodcast to see more about today's case. If you like our podcast, please subscribe in Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening right now. This was The Evidence Locker. Thank you for listening.